check us out. Chuck, the public enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy motherfucking Doc.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, C-Man.
What up, dog? This is E-Shot.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Bone.
Vice Warp.
This your man, Mastermind of Hell, Raise Up.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
With Rob, right, he had a place to live, right? He came to Atlanta March 5th.
So he had a place he was staying at. His finances wasn't like that. So I don't know what happened. The place where he was staying at, a text message came through like, yo, you might as well stay where you at. Don't come back up here. Don't come back here. You know, blah, 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 blah. So after that period, he was, you know, homeless. So he stayed in Atlanta, Georgia. And then plus, you know, he had health issues. You know, he was on dialysis. Rob was not on drugs. So I'm clearing the air. People think, oh, he was on drugs. That's why he said, no, he's not. He was not on drugs. He had, you know, he had bad kidneys. He's on dialysis. That's why he's in the hospital. I'm the one that was in the hospital and put him on video and it went viral. I did that. I was there with him. You know, a lot of people that could have helped didn't help. You know what I mean? That's why I put the video up to show, like, everybody want to keep shit hush, hush, but he's not getting no help. Who's going to put $200,000-$300,000 behind this man? I mean, like, yo, they'll take that money, that $200,000-$300,000, go buy a car or finance or lease a Rolls Royce or Lamborghini to ride around and look pretty. You know what I'm saying? That's something for them. You know? You can't tell people what to do with their money. But a lot of people that was in position could have helped and they didn't. And it was too late because, you know, he passed away Saturday, a week less than DMX.
I've seen a report now. I don't know how true it is. It says something about Diddy paying for his funeral. Is there any truth to that?
That's what I was told, but I was in contact with Diddy. So I'm going to say this, that, you know, through somebody else that's affiliated with Rob, Diddy reached out and was like, he was going to do something for Rob. This is when the video first went up, him in the hospital. You know what I mean? But, you know, people dragging their feet and nothing got done. So now I'm paying for his funeral, do this, that. He's dead and gone now. See, everybody want to do something for you when you're dead and gone. You know what I mean? So it was said that, you know, Diddy offered him help before. I don't know if Rob denied it or that he didn't want to be bothered. Or I don't know what the circumstances was, but, you know, I felt that, you know, regardless of what, I mean, Rob should have been in that position that he was in, not saying somebody's obligated to do something for him because we not, but, you know, if this was your friend and whatever happened, this guy got you rich and you had good times together, all right, help him out. Like, you know, like, what's the problem to help him out a little bit?
When did you meet Rob? And man, what was he like, man, if you care to reflect on him?
I knew him as an artist, but I ain't start really dealing with him on a personal level, get to know him until, like, summer of 2020, like August 2020. I mean, I started conversating with him, talking to him, you know, back and forth. And he was a cool dude to me. You know what I mean? I ain't here to judge nobody. He was a cool dude. Like, you know, everybody got their faults and everything, but, you know, me, myself, you know, I can't say nothing bad about him. You know what I mean? Like, some people, you know, they stuck in their ways, and, you know, that's cool, but for the most part, when I told him, Rob, I got this show book for you. Yo, you got to be here or come to the airport. He was there. You know what I'm saying? He did it. You know what I'm saying? So I tell Rob, I got a show book for you. I get the deposit money, whatever. I give it to Rob. Rob, look, you got to be at the airport such a day. He was doing it. He was on it. You know? So, like I said, I got nothing bad to say, but I try to help him. Let me get him some shows. You know, keep a little change in his pocket. You know, I had him in Detroit, October of 2020. He's in Detroit, him and Vinny Siegel. Then after that, we got the Big 50, because she reposted, you know, that event on her Instagram. And, you know, Black Rob, he never ran his Instagram page. So, yeah, he passed away. It's circulating that, you know, somebody told me that this guy that used to do business with Rob, he called, reached out to the Breakfast Club, and someone said, where, you know, Angela Lee was like, well, Black Rob managers in New York. He said he didn't know that Black Rob was in Atlanta, Georgia. Man, suck nuts, man. You wasn't working with Rob or managing him. So now people, you know, want to be involved. Like, they was on board with that. I got proof of contracts, shows, flyers, all that shit. I mean, if you were so concerned with Black Rob, why you didn't reach out to somebody? I'm pretty sure you got his phone number. Why you didn't reach out? And it's like, yo, Rob, I'm going to send you $2,000, something like that, help you out, get a spot, whatever. He ain't do none of that shit. But after he's dead and gone, everybody really want to be a chief. Nobody wants to be an Indian.
Yeah. Yeah, I see a lot of people popping out of the woodwork or whatever. It's crazy. Crazy, man. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to, his biggest hit right here. Whoa, everybody loves this song. We're going to play it, and then we're going to come back and chop it up with you for a little bit more. We're on the line right now with the homie Cal Dawson. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back. Rest in peace, Black Rob.
Y'all get ready to put y'all up on something, man. Yo, when you see something ill, you know what I mean? That shit is woke. Anything ill you see is woke. Nigga have a big six at the club, that's woke.
Okay.
Just if they got the fully equipped kid on it, it's woke. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yo,
I had this bad bitch of town, she was woke. Had me fucked up in the head, I mean.
Whoa.
Bought the bitch diamonds and pearls, I mean.
Whoa.
Should've seen them shit shining on the wrist. Now money ain't a problem, see my dough is like. Pulled out my bankroll on y'all niggas like.
Whoa.
Lost the roots, went from 2 cents like. Jackie wanna keep my blueprints, I'm like.
Whoa.
Had to hit the brakes on y'all niggas like.
Whoa.
Niggas getting phones on my block like.
Whoa.
Coming home within a half an hour like.
Whoa.
Running like they had the manpower like.
Whoa.
More or less. More so, I risk it all so, I live the fast life. Come through in the front flow like, whoa. My nigga, like, whoa, like, bro, nitro, 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 like, whoa.
East Bay
with cocaine, like, whoa. Now I'm Doc Strange in the range, like, whoa. 100 miles an hour switching lanes, like, whoa. Plus I'm getting brains from this chick, like, whoa. Finger near nigga asshole, like,
whoa.
Team floor switches and bitches, like, whoa. 9-9 tag, Ben Coop, like, whoa. Keep the cheese lines on your blocks, like, whoa. Grenade through your window, bitch, like, whoa. Love to see me do this shit, like, whoa. Niggas put me through this shit, like, whoa. So I'ma go toe-to-toe, blow for blow, like, whoa. And whip the torso, live a fast life. Come through with the force, flow, like, whoa. My niggas, like, go, like, bro, nitro, my flow, like, bro, like, whoa. We bag it, then flip it like, whoa. Cars we jack it, then strip it like, whoa. Full of equipment, front to back like, whoa. Spitting on fiends that come for crack like, whoa. Asking for shorts and shit, nigga, like, whoa. Half on his quote, now nigga, that's whoa. Flow so properly, you'll see I'm whoa. Ain't no stopping me, I'm deep like, whoa. Guns be popping, be retreat like, whoa. Hear my name in these streets, it's like, whoa. Must I pound the concrete like,
whoa.
Fill his bitch ass, head to feet like,
whoa.
Your man ain't,
whoa.
The judge ain't,
whoa.
CO's ain't, whoa. PO's ain't,
whoa.
Play yourself, I get the D.I. Joe. D.I.C. K-Riders ain't,
whoa.
I rip the torso, live the fast life. Come through in the post, flow like,
whoa.
My nigga, light go, light go, light go, my flow, light go, light go. Niggas getting money in VA is whoa. Honey's looking like an ATL is whoa. Niggas tripping hoes in Chi-Town is whoa. Niggas taking shape in LA is whoa. Niggas stacking dough in DC is whoa. Beyond DR, hold me down like
whoa.
Ballers in Detroit, hold me down like
whoa.
Niggas in New Orleans getting money is
whoa.
Boston and Jersey motherfuckers is
whoa.
Florida niggas and Philly niggas is
whoa.
Tampa and Texas, Cleveland is
whoa.
Memphis and Little Rock, my niggas is
whoa.
Panama niggas, they hold me down like
whoa.
My New York people, they hold me down like
whoa.
Bad boy nigga, who is born, we
whoa.
Alumni bitches, who is born, we
whoa.
And CSC, motherfuckers is
whoa.
My nigga fuck out, who is born, he
whoa.
Rest in peace, Black Rob. Back here at Murder Master Music Show, episode 802. We got Cal Dawson on the line. Like I said, man, the East Coast was hit pretty hard. DMX and then Black Rob, you know what I'm saying? It's almost like 50 is the new 70, you know. People are dropping dead way too young. I'm seeing this happen a lot. Very unfortunate.
Yeah, man, it's fucked up, you know what I mean? Everybody, like, you know, they for self. This is why this shit's going on. It's like, you know, karma's a bitch, you know what I'm saying? So what goes around comes around. You know what I mean? You can't think you're going to be successful and wealthy while you use people, you know what I mean, to get ready to be on top. It's not going to work that way in this world.
No, not at all.
You know what I mean?
Not at all.
You can't get rich off of other people's misery. It's not going to work that way.
Yeah. Very, very
That's
important.
That's why, you know, when people talk this Black Lives Matter stuff, it's bullshit to me because look what happened. You know what I mean? Like, in the day, everybody's grown, but still. We're coming together for certain things.
Yeah. Yeah, there's too much, divide and conquer is the oldest trick in the book. You know what I mean? There's too much division.
It's still going on to this day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Now, you're from Jamaica, Queens. You've been in the industry for a while. When did you get your start?
About 92, 93.
Right in the golden era of hip-hop, you started working at Def Jam. Man, what was that like? I mean, that's right when Onyx was on the scene. And man, what was that era like?
Nah. It was all right because I got there because my brother, Ricky, him and Russell had a relationship. And, you know, I had went down in 91 in North Carolina for, you know, trafficking. So I got released. I mean, I got a job there as an A&R. And Ole Grant, my cousin, is known to y'all as Power. He was the CEO of, you know, of Wu-Tang. I mean, so, yeah, he's from Queens, but he went to Staten Island. And, you know, he did his ones and twos. And, you know, he put a lot of financial backing behind Wu-Tang and made them big to where they are to this day. But that era over there was like, it was like, you know, because at that time, Def Jam, you know, had Onyx, you know what I'm saying? They still had, you know, Slick Rick over there. They had Bradman was there. Meth came in 94 of his single, solo deal. You know, like, Def Jam was like, shit, the go-to label as far as hip-hop.
Yeah, it was the one that really set the bar, you know what I'm saying? It came out and really showed the world how to do it. And they always had aggressive music, too, you know what I'm saying? DMX proved that, obviously, himself. But, I mean, right from the jump, it was always like some hard rock mixed with some hard rap street shit. And people gravitated towards it. They loved it, you know?
Right.
But you definitely, you know, you eventually became A&R. What was that experience like, you know what I'm saying? And what was like to handle the responsibility of all that as far as looking for acts and, you know what I'm saying?
Look, you're an artist recruiter. You're looking for, you know, talent and, you know, you bring it to the label. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times, certain dudes was coming to the office, you know, with their little cassette tapes, and some people would just take them and just throw them in the file cabinet. You know, never got played.
No.
I see a lot of that going on. Then later on, you know, came, what's her name? Foxy Brown. She came over there, Def Jam, El Nana. You know, yeah, a lot of heavy hitters that was there at that time. But, you know, it was like, you know, right, you know, back then, a lot of people don't know, people was getting signed, getting $2-3 million. You know, that sounded like $3 million when he popped out his deal.
Yeah.
Now, shit, dudes ain't getting that. Nowadays, it's different. You know, there's a lot of other, you know, social media stuff going on now like they have back then.
Yeah, it's all the game's all different now. I mean, so many levels.
When I walked to the table, right, when I was at Def Jam, it was an artist by the name of Ali Vegas. You know, I brought him to the table. He got signed. You know, they had him on the show. A lot of artists getting signed, and they had to go through artist development. You know, some people were signed for like 2 years, never heard of them, and I said they got rid of them. Like, you know, but in 96, I remember Alicia Keys got signed Jane Records with Clive Davis, and she was on the shelf for 4 years. She didn't pop off until 2000. I'm falling.
Yeah. Some people just, you know, they just come out.
When I was at Def Jam, I worked with, you know, Bimmy, you know, James Anthony. He's on, you know, Hip Hop Uncensored right now. You know what I mean? He A&R, LL's Cool J album, The GOAT. Him, me, I was with Eric Nix. You know, so that was a nice check over there at that time. Then Bimmy, I was like, you know, learning the business and what he was doing because he was around Def Jam. He's at Def Jam. Been Bone Thugs and Harmony. Did that song with Mariah Carey. So he was there in the studio when that was going on.
That record probably sold God knows how many millions.
It did numbers. Def Jam, like I said, it was a go-to label.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you know what I'm saying, when you left Def Jam, did you start your own, like, company, management company or label?
Nah. That's a lot. When you have a label, that's a lot of responsibility people don't know. Because right now, anybody, mama can have a label. A label is nothing right now. You know, like the back of a t-shirt, there's a label on there. Anybody can have a label, but it's all about who got a distribution deal. If you got a label, who you got a distribution deal with? That's where it counts at.
I can get a homeless
door up the street and call some shit called Homeless Records. It's a label. All right? You got the paperwork done, copyrighted. LLC, it's a label.
Get that Master P money.
No.
Get that.
Yeah, it's a label. Anybody can get a label. Now it's like, who you got with your label? Who you got a distribution deal with? If anything. If you ain't got a distribution deal, what the fuck do you have a label for?
Yeah.
You know how you get a distribution deal? It's all about numbers. If you got an artist that you push in and you put in 20,000, 30,000 behind marketing, you're on every major platform, you're doing shows here and there, it's like a commercial. Like, you know, the average person, you always see a commercial about Hyundai, Toyotas, Lexus, Acuras, you know, Mercedes. You know why? Nissans, because everyday person could afford that car. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, you know they make Lamborghinis, Ferraris, and Rolls Royces. You'll see commercials with them because the everyday person cannot afford that car. But, you know, they make them. So when you go get some cars, high-end cars like that, you got to order them for the dealer. They got to ship it over here. It might be a six-month waiting list for certain car that you want, a certain color, or you want this done, that done. Like when Mercedes-Benz, they first came out with the CLK, the buggy eyes. You got to wait 6 months to get your car.
What are some of the highlights of your career, going all the way back from Def Jam to today?
Well, you know, I did a lot. I helped a lot of people behind closed doors. I mean, like a lot of situations came about. You know, I would say, you know, like me getting released from the federal prison. You know, my indictment, you know, Barack Obama, you know, overturned my sentence. You know, I was pleased to do that instead of me doing 10 years. I did 5 years. I came home November 1st, 2011, the day that law kicked. So, you know, I'm grateful for that because, you know, a lot of people go to jail and don't come home. You know, they catch sicknesses, diseases. They die in jail, heart attacks, strokes. You're getting generic medicine that's in the prison system that, you know, it ain't helping you. It's just prolonging your shit. You know, you get treated like a goddamn... I guess I can't even say get treated like a dog. Some dogs getting treated better than human beings nowadays. Getting their hair cut and, you know, funerals and walkers and shit like that, coats and hats and shit.
Yeah, it's a horrible, and you know, America is the worst country we got more incarcerated than anywhere. You know, I think we only rival like Russia or something like that. That's about it. But it's a pipeline system that they got, and it's just fucked up. You know, how did you get through it, man? Did you do a lot of reading or writing or?
I wasn't no slow dude. People that know me, you know what I'm saying? Like, from my neighborhood, you know, Mr. Junior High School, man, I got skipped from the 6th grade to the 8th. So, you know, like, I ain't no dumb guy. Just that, you know, when you're in prison, you know, it's certain people who you could deal with or certain people you can't deal with. You know what I mean? Like, like you got all type of people in there. You know what I mean? You got to learn how to adapt with your environment. You know, some dudes is, you know, gang affiliated. Some dudes not. You know, you got the neutral guys, you got the Bloods, the Crips, your 5%ers, your Muslims, your Christians, you know, you got the some pedophiles in there, some murderers, some rapists in there, you know, some drug users, drug dealers, you know what I mean? It's a whole lot. I mean, you know how to adapt to your environment. You know what I mean? It's something you can learn in jail that you can't learn in the streets. You know, you gotta learn how to do it with different people's personalities because you live there with them.
Yeah.
But I got a guess for you. You know, he's sitting right next to me. He can tell you the experiences that he had with Black Rob. You know, he helped him out. I mean, the way he's an artist himself. You know, he got his a lot of things going on for him. So his name is Goldmouth. He's from out of Georgia. But I'm going to let him speak to y'all. And, you know, he got some powerful things that, you know, need to be heard. Not from me, but from him. I mean, his views. I'm going to pass the phone over to him. And,
Well, before you go, I just have one more quick question, real quick, and then pass the phone over, but by all means. I just read a thing online. What happened with DJ Vlad and 50 Cent? There was, like, some type of thing where you did
he
an interview
told
with
him,
Vlad.
He told Vlad to take the interview down. You know, Vlad had said some shit about Farrakhan. You know, 50 never went there publicly and said anywhere. He could. I don't know Cowboys. He just told Vlad to take it down. He had on his Instagram. And then 50 took it off his IG page. So everybody remixed it and came with their own theories about things.
And he didn't like it or something.
It's social media.
Oh, okay. I got you. There's some fuckery.
Yeah,
you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm about to pass the thing to Goldmouth, but y'all can talk to him for a minute, and he'll tell you some shit that went on.
Yeah, what's up, brother? How you doing?
Real good. What's your name again?
My name is Goldmouth Fam Goom. I'm the CEO of America Records with incarcerated rapper Rallo. I'm from Atlanta. I'm a book author. I'm saying I got my own music career, my own artists and shit. So, you can look me up on at Street Legend Gold on Instagram. Street Legend Gold or Goldmouth Fam Goom on Instagram. And you'll see a whole lot of what I got going on.
And when did you get in the game? Like, how long you been rapping?
Oh, originally, I got in the game, you know, back in 1999. I'm one of the people that first introduced Young Jeezy. I'm sure you heard of the rapper Young Jeezy, but I started my career along with Young Jeezy. And so everything goes. You know, when I started.
Yeah, hello? Fam, you there?
Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah.
I started my rap career alongside Young Jeezy back in 1999, 2000. Ever since then, you know, was bored on the bridge. So I've been in the rap game for over 20 years. I've just been behind the scenes. So,
man, I've been in there about the same time. That's when I got 98, 99. Man, shit between all of us, man. We got almost a fucking century of this bitch. Man,
Yeah. Yeah, I've been fucking some heavy hitters in the game.
Now, Jeezy, I interviewed him one time when he was for the USDA project. What was he like in 99, you know what I'm saying, when you guys were coming up together?
Oh, he did the street thing. He wasn't in the street, but, he fucked with guys like myself that was, like, deeply embedded in the street. But, he did his street thing as far as, like, you know what I'm saying, doing the moving the work and stuff like that. So he got into the industry. So he was a pretty cool, laid-back guy. You know, his family, he had a lot of big-time cousins and shit that did their thing in the street. So, he was the little cousin. So that gave him a lot of leverage in that sense. So he was a pretty cool dude, when we got in, when I met him. I met him back in 96, though. So we had a real long relationship, but fame, money and fame changed people. So shit changed when the fame and money came. So kind of parted our ways, but it ain't no bad blood between us though.
In this game that happens a lot. I remember reviewing guys that nobody was listening to, and my reviews were helping them, right? And once they got past that level and went on to the next and start getting plaques, man, they forgot about me. It's just the cold nature of the game, for some people. Now, there are a few that have come across that keep it 100, so.
He takes your address? Yeah, that's how it is, it's sad but true, man. Motherfuckers, they just use everything and everybody till they get themselves to the top. So it don't matter what they have to do. I don't give a fuck if they got to, use a dead man situation to get to the top. Kind of like, the shit the homie Mark Curry, apparently, trying to do with the Black Raw situation,
Talk about that. What's Mark Curry doing?
I mean, it's a lot of things that he did, related to the Black Raw situation that I wholeheartedly disagree with, For instance, when Black Raw passed, right? I mean, he didn't call Black Rob close akin, none of his sons or daughters or anything. He just, as soon as the man died, he ran to the fucking social media, ran to the internet. You were on the Instagram crying and shit, saying thank you for donations and shit like that. But, before you take this type of, this critical information to social media, first thing you should be doing is trying to contact this man's loved one. You know what I'm saying? Because you got their numbers, you can get in contact with them. So you should be trying to contact this dead man's loved one to inform them that he's passed, rather than them finding out by you boo-hooing this shit on the internet. You know what I'm saying? The world knew the man was dead before his loved ones knew he was dead. And so when I found out he had passed, I immediately called Black Rob's son, Lil Rob Lowe, called his people to let him know what the fuck had transpired. But how the fuck this nigga Mark Curry gonna go straight to the internet, and let the world know the man dead before contacting his people?
Yeah, you gotta contact the family. How did you meet Black Rob?
I met Black Rob, I think it was like 8 months ago or some shit like that, through Cal Dawson at an event that we was having up there in Philadelphia, Detroit, one of those places.
Detroit.
Yeah, that's how I met Black Rob. And ever since that night, me and Black Rob, we had a real strong vibe. He came back to New York. I went back to Atlanta after that night. We'll keep in contact with each other. We'll text, every other day or so, three times a week, talk to each other on the phone. And so, I just basically stayed, I was a part of, of his life since that point right there onwards. But when we really, start, because, I flew to New York like 2 weeks after that event. I linked up with him up here in New York, him and his son. We just
made a, you know, a agreement to stay in contact with each other. That's what we did.
And so you got to unfortunately see him, you know, go through this horrible thing. Was he homeless at any point in time?
All right, this is what happened, right? Okay. So he came to Atlanta, Georgia. Cal Dawson had him booked for a show in Atlanta, Georgia, during All-Star Weekend. So he came down. I talked to him. He was telling me he was coming down to do the show, and, you know what I'm saying? So when he came down to do the show, I don't know what the fuck happened, but he called me one night, you know what I'm saying? His son and his cousin was down there with him. They were staying at this expensive-ass hotel out there, like in Buckhead somewhere. So he called my phone. His son was like, man, could you help my dad out? Because my dad, you know, in a fucked-up situation, he can't go back to New York. So I'm like, what you mean he can't go back to New York? So he's like, man, my cousin don't want him back at the house no more, so he ain't got nowhere to stay. He ain't got nowhere to go. So I said, really? So he's like, yeah, you know, because I had never heard of no shit like that. You know what I'm saying? So he was forced to stay in Atlanta. So he, Black Rob himself called me. He's like, man, I can't go back to New York. I need to get a crib out here, but I'm finna be put out the hotel room. So I'm going to need somewhere to go. I ain't got nowhere to go. So I'm like, damn, all right, ain't no pressure. So his son flew back. And, you know, he was left, you know, at the hotel room with no more money to pay for, days at the hotel. So he was outside waiting and shit on me with all his bags. So, you know, I stopped what I was doing. You know, I'm a pretty busy person because I run a whole fucking record label and a whole family and some more shit. So I just told my wife, listen, we're going to go out here and get robbed and try to get situated in Atlanta because he ain't got nowhere to go. So I went and picked him up. I went and asked him what was going on. He was like, man, shit, I'm down bad, man. I'm down and out. You know what I'm saying? I know I ain't got no money. Ain't nobody fucking with me. I ain't got nowhere to go. I'm like, shit, I can't, you know, I couldn't let him stay outside or no shit like that. So I immediately took him to a hotel near my house in Stockbridge, Atlanta, because, you know, I stay in Atlanta. So I rented him a room for, like, you know, a week. And I thought that, you know, I thought he had, you know, some money to put towards it, but no, he was dead on cash. So, you know, I went ahead and got the room for him at a nice hotel for like 7 days. So, you know, every day I go to the hotel to kick it with him and bring him some food and shit. So I had been doing that for like 3 to 4 days. And mind you, the Black Rob, he was having kidney failure, so he was on dialysis. So, you know, every 2 days or so, he's supposed to have been going to dialysis. Nevertheless, you know, he had been fucking. I mean, he wasn't necessarily fucking, but he wasn't going to dialysis because he didn't have all his paperwork, you know, down in Atlanta in order for a dialysis system, a center to accept him to dialysize him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So almost eight to 10 days had passed, you know what I'm saying, from the time he was in New York to Atlanta that he hadn't, you know, received dialysis. Because, you know, basically everybody had to kicked him to the curb. You know, his family wasn't fucking with him, and he was just basically on his own. So so my wife went to doing research trying to find a dialysis center to go ahead and you know, dialysize him and shit. So I came to the room on, like, the fourth day, and I seen all the different hamburgers and shit that I had been buying for the last 4 days. They were still in the room. So he hadn't been eating and shit. So, you know, his body began to, like, swell up slowly but surely. And he had all these toxins on his body. But he really didn't want to go to the hospital. So me and my wife basically, you know, forced him to go to the hospital. We took him to the hospital, and they immediately ushered him into the emergency room to perform dialysis and, you know, clean the toxins off his bloodstream or whatever, however that process go. So I thought he was going to stay in there for, like, a day or two. Shit, they end up keeping Rob in that bitch for like 10 days or something. You know what I'm saying?
When did he go in again?
He went in. He went in the hospital. I don't know exactly what day it was, but it was, you know, during, like, right after the All-Star Weekend in Atlanta. We took him to the hospital, and they kept him. I thought they was just going to, you know, administer dialysis to him. But shit, they end up keeping him about 10 days, you heard?
Hmm.
So at that point, I knew, like, his condition was serious. So he ended up getting out of the hospital. He called me, and I had to bring him his clothes and shit. So we had to find him a placement somewhere to live, which was with this brother named Cricket, the badass drummer. You know what I'm saying? Cal Dawson and them people. So he was living out there in Fayetteville. He had moved in temporarily with Cricket out there in Fayetteville. So I come out there and get him, and, you know, we'll spend some time and shit like that together. And he ended up having to go right back to the hospital. So this time he went to the hospital. You know, I guess they deemed him as, you know, being in a bad condition. So they performed some type of surgery and shit on him. You feel me? He did a lung. They performed a lung surgery on him. And, you know, he wasn't well. He wasn't healed. And he got discharged out of the hospital, like, early. You know what I'm saying? He had called me, and he wanted me to come get him out of the hospital early. So I'm like, nah, man, you need to sit in that motherfucking hospital until you get healed, until you get well, till the doctor tell you that it's okay for you to leave. He was so adamant about being able to pay homage to DMX. All he wanted to do was get out so he could come, you know, to New York or wherever they was having the visuals for DMX. You know what I'm saying? He wanted to pay his respect. He was like, Goldmouth, I'm a part of that shit, Goldmouth. Goldmouth, you know, I need to pay homage to X. That was my man. I'm a part of this shit. So I told him, listen, man, we got to make sure that we got you right. We got to make sure that your health is up to par before you leave this hospital. But if you fuck around and leave this hospital, and the doctor, before the doctor give you an authorization to leave, then shit, you're going to be right with DMX. So he's like, man, you know what? You right, bro. So fucking, I'm going to stay. So he ended up staying in the hospital for like 2 more days. And I guess he got fed up, and he convinced one of his partners to come get him out of the hospital. So he got discharged. And according to what transpired then, that was an error too. That was a mistake too. But they got him out of the hospital early. Notwithstanding, he had not been properly healed after having that critical surgery, that lung surgery that he had. And you know, he called me and shit. I came and picked him up a day or two later, and I took him to a circus, to like a fair in Atlanta. So me, him, and my wife, we hung out real heavy. You know, we did everything. You know, we rode rides, we played games and shit. And I'm saying, a day or two later, he passed. You feel me?
Mind you, Mark Curry lived in Georgia. What was bullshit was going on?
Yeah, I mean, Mark Curry and a lot of other people, you know, who getting involved with the situation and got involved with the situation after Cal Dawson had posted a video. You know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers,
both videos.
They both videos, you know, these motherfuckers, they didn't, you know, they was nowhere to assist Black Rob. They wasn't nowhere until the GoFundMe thing started generating money, and so all the money shit got involved. Then, you know, it became political. It became beneficial. And motherfuckers started coming out of the woodwork, you know, trying to be a part of what the brother had going on. Notwithstanding, you know, they didn't reach out to help when he was homeless, when he didn't have no motherfucking where to stay, when he didn't have, you know, no money in his pocket, when he couldn't put no motherfucking food in his mouth. But these same motherfuckers claiming they love the brother and got a lot of respect and so on and so forth for the brother.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's unfortunate.
So, yeah, you know, so now you got the whole world, you know, crying BR this and Black Rock. It's like Puff Daddy, you know what I'm saying? Like, he could have did a whole lot of shit for the brother Black Rock when he was alive. But shit, Puff ain't do shit for the homie, you know what I'm saying? Now they saying Puff wanna, allegedly, he's paying for the funeral, he's doing this and doing that. But, you know, they could have exerted the same amount of energy or more when the brother was alive, and he'll still be alive today. You see what I'm saying?
People wait sometimes too long. It's unfortunate. Yeah, my thoughts go out to his family, and it sounds like you guys were able to have some fun with him before he passed, though. I'm sure that meant the world to him. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, man. That shit was so fun, man. I mean, for real, I still got the footage of us being on the motherfucking ferry wheel, the roller coaster. You through him playing games, you know, we recorded a lot of that shit, man. It just seemed to me like Black Rob knew that he wouldn't be here on Earth too much longer because, you know, at the fair that we went, you know, he had bought some things from there. He was consistently leaving behind his cell phone. He was leaving behind his bag. You know, we have to keep going to get everything. And at one point, he was like, man, I don't need that shit. You know, and so when he got in my car, he had an envelope that he had, you know, some money in that I guess, you know, people had started sending him money after Cal Dawson had posted the video. And when I looked on the floor of my car that night, you know, after we took him back to the hotel room to be seen by the nurse, you know, I looked in the envelope and I found a $100 bill in there. It was like he was leaving a $100 bill for me. And I'll be damned, you know, a day later or so he passed. So it's like he felt that, you know, he ain't have no more use for you know, the material things on Earth because he was leaving everything behind, man, because, you know, I guess he felt like, and I got so many videos of him, man, just chilling out with me, just hanging out. You know, he's going to appear on my new DVD, that's my documentary on my lifestyle that's about to come out because he was there when I was shooting that. Like, when he came to Atlanta, he was always around. So, you know, I'm just grateful to have been able to meet the brother, to assist the brother throughout his struggle and just be able to, you know, to say I know Black Rob. I actually, you know, was a friend of Black Rob and fuck with him genuine from the heart. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to, you know what I'm saying, I'd be there in his time of need. You know, I know that meant the world to him. You and Cal Dawson, seems like you guys really looked out for him. I saw the video, and he was talking about that he was on his way to recovery, and he was getting better, and we were all pulling for him, you know. It was a shock. It was a shock for everybody. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Cal.
A lot of things pertaining to him was sugarcoated. You know what I mean? This dude put a video like, you know, he out the hospital. He good. He ain't good. You know what I mean? Like, man, he's help. So I mean, call a spade. He's not in his best position right now.
And people started, once the video came out, that's when the people started coming out, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And so that was
opportunities they came.
It's about opportunity, and it's about publicity for people. You know, people, they do what you know, strong, you know, what politically and publicly make them look good. So that's what this shit is about. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers. A lot of people really don't have genuine love for the next person. They do that shit based on publicity. You feel me?
Yeah, it's a shame. Shame it's got to be that way. Well, look at
and
the
And another thing
is right
this,
now.
Right? Yeah, that's exactly what the industry. I feel like Black Rob could still be alive. Also, you know, I don't like to point fingers and shit, but the fact of the matter is that When the dude Mark Curry came to get him from the hotel room, Black Rob had told Mark Curry, man, listen, man, my legs stopped working. I can't feel my leg no more, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, they put him in a wheelchair. Mark Curry and a nurse named Queen, they put him in a wheelchair, and they wheeled him down to the bottom floor, and Black Rob was telling them, you know, I don't want people to see me like this. I don't want nobody to see me in a wheelchair. I want to walk. I want to use my leg. So, you know, they made the decision then and there to take him to the hospital. But they took him to Grady Memorial Hospital initially. Black Rob wouldn't get out of the car. He was telling them, nah, I ain't going to the hospital. I don't want to go to this particular hospital. So they took him to another hospital, which is, I think, was Piedmont Hospital. So when they got there, Black Rob was saying the same shit. And mind you, Atlanta traffic is notorious. I mean, Atlanta traffic is treacherous. So during this time, you know, they had to go from one hospital to another hospital. When they got to the other hospital, you know, Black Rob was still saying, I don't want to go to this hospital. These people might try to kill me, and they're going to put something in my body and so on and so forth. So basically, he was delusional. He was going through, you know, you know, a fucking hallucinogenic, like phase. And so, you know, they should have, you know, went and got the doctors and pulled his ass right to the front of the hospital like me and my wife did, so the people can come, you know, administer medical attention. And before, you know, so instead, you know, Mark Curry took him down to a juice bar that one of Black Wall's partners owned. And when he got to the juice bar, according to Mark Curry, they had an extended conversation about, you know, what he want to do with this or what he want to do with that. And if something happened to him. And that's what he died at. You know, so that was like an hour and 30 minutes and 2 hours later. You know, had they did the right thing, which was not allow a person that's unstable, minded and physically unstable, to dictate how they should, you know, get him medical attention. They should have did what they knew to do, which was get him medical attention when they took him to the hospital. You know, they could have put him on the machine, you know what I'm saying, to flush his kidney out, and, you know, he could have lived longer. And no, ain't no telling what Allah would have had for him. You know, we could have got him adequate help from that day forward. But that was the wrong decision, not to, you know, admit him into the hospital, allow him to tell them, no, I don't want to go to the hospital, but he's in pain. He's in dire pain and in a dire condition.
Now, I just want to say, you know, Black Rob got, you know, a raw deal, you know, and, you know, y'all can hit me up. I mean, I'm on Instagram. I'm Dawson Cal, DawSon, you know, KAL. You know, so you know, there were some people who didn't know the situation. They felt a certain way that, yeah, why you put the video up here for? People need to know what the fuck was going on. I did it, and I don't feel no shame about putting it up there. Because the other people on the sideline saying shit, they ain't do a motherfucking thing for him. Period.
I'm sorry for the loss, man.
Yeah, man, you know, such is life, man. You know, I'll pass his gold mouth. You can give his, he can be found then. Yeah.
Yeah, Goldmouth.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Look me up. My name. Yeah, I'm Goldmouth Fam Goon. Look me up on IG at Goldmouth, GOLMOUF Fam Goon, FAMGOON. Goldmouth Fam Goon. Look me up. I got, matter of fact, on my IG, I got some videos with Black Rob that you know, people would not otherwise see. So, you know what I'm saying? We used to hang out and kick it and stuff. So, you know what I'm saying? Go on my IG at Goldmouth Fam Goon, mouth spell MOUF, and just check me out, see what we got going on. And also, I want your listeners to you know, try to, you know, get my IG so they can see how to help us out, free my brother Rollo, who locked up for marijuana charges. We're trying to free Rollo. We got Kim Kardashian and Drake, all of those big people behind us trying to, you know, get him pardoned. So we need a lot of signatures to free the brother Rollo from federal prison on marijuana charges that they just legalized up in New York City. So we fighting to decriminalize marijuana throughout the whole continental United States of America. So that's a very important movement that you know, all your listeners can also be a part of, because I'm sure, you know, they have been affected in some form or fashion by the marijuana laws over here in the United States of America that they are decriminalizing in every state.